This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, I'll bring you an audio opinion by one of my favorite narrators, Simon Vance. Simon tells us why he traveled 6,000 miles to spend a few hours with an author. And it's that time of year again when Audiophile's editors let you in on our picks for the best audiobooks and narrators of the past year, 2016. We'll start with a list of the best picks in young adult listening, followed by reviews in that area. Let's get right to Simon Vance, Why I Traveled 6,000 Miles to Spend a Few Hours with an Author. It was a crazy idea right from the start. I mean, phone calls and emails are usually enough to get the information I need to do the job of interpreting an author's words. But this book was special, not only for its author and its length, but also for its setting in the author's history-drenched hometown. I'm speaking of Alan Moore, hailed as probably the best graphic novel writer in history. He wrote V for Vendetta, Watchmen, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, to mention but three, who had just finished 10 years of his life working on his second novel, Jerusalem, his magnum opus. I had just been asked to narrate it. It was Neil Gaiman who first made the suggestion that I make the trip, and Neil is a man, a writer, for whom I have the deepest respect. "What an opportunity," he said. "I should go to Northampton, meet with the great Alan Moore, and ask him to give me a tour of the very place that is the inspiration for Jerusalem." The problem was that Northampton, a city in the center of England, as well as being central to England's history, is a very long way from my current home in California. Plus, I was a busy narrator. It was March, and I was expected to have the book in the can by the end of June. I dismissed the idea as crazy. Then the book arrived and landed with a resounding thump. Okay, I exaggerate. It was a PDF, so it more or less landed with a ping. But it felt heavy in my inbox, and it was indeed impressive at 1,200 pages long and more than 600,000 words. I began to read it in what little spare time I had, usually in the middle of the night. Soon I was drawn in. I had fully entered the mindscape of Alan Moore. Yep, there's a documentary on DVD by that name. Jerusalem is an amazing creation. It has three distinct parts. One hardback edition of the book splits it into three volumes. It was eventually going to amount to 60 hours of unfinished audiobook work and to take me every single day of June to record, and there is no easy way to describe it. Of course, I'm no critic, and I don't write for a living. To put it simply, I just read the words and allow them to take me on a journey, and this one, I soon knew, was unlike any other. The more I read, the more I recognized that I couldn't pass up the chance to spend time with the author. I would justify the expense to myself by saying that it would help me in my narration, but mainly I just wanted to hang with this extraordinary man. He really is unique. According to Wikipedia, Moore is an occultist, ceremonial magician, and anarchist. So by mid-May, I was checking flight schedules, adding up air miles, and trying to find out if Alan Moore would be available in the two-day slot I could have in the UK. Now that was an issue. You don't just email Alan. He doesn't have email. He doesn't even have an answering machine. You either catch him on his home phone or you don't. Eventually, through Neil, I got in touch with Alan's daughter, who said there was a chance her father might be available. I couldn't wait for a confirmation. I had to snatch the flights before they went away. I rationalized that even if I couldn't meet him, I could wander around Northampton on my own, and that alone would add to my experience of the novel. I braced for the fact that I might never meet the elusive author and would be very disappointed. As it happened, I left San Francisco on an overnight flight Monday, the 30th of May, arriving on Tuesday, and drove right from Heathrow to Norfolk to see my son, who was on a four-month visit to the UK. Then, on Wednesday, I drove from Norfolk to Northampton. By this time, Alan had indeed agreed to meet me and had chosen a rendezvous point, Pizza Express in Derngate. Really? Pizza Express? Not some darkened basement where the anarchists hang? But truth is, despite his anti-establishment reputation, Alan is really quite normal. His book has multiple influences and ranges far and wide, but centers itself in the philosophy of eternalism, briefly described, past, present, and future coexist, and we live our lives over and over again if we wish. And when you meet Alan, you find a most charming, charismatic, endearingly eccentric, typical working-class Englishman in his 60s. After the necessary conversation about the book, details over pronunciation, etc., he took me on a walking tour of his neighborhood, the boroughs. Jerusalem is almost a love letter to the people and the place. It rained lightly the whole time, but neither of us commented on that. This is England, after all. And eventually we sought shelter in the local coffee shop, Cafe Nero. Cafe Nero? You might as well call it Cafe Caligula, he comments in the book. The best part of our conversation took place over the next couple of hours. He and I are not far different in age, and apart from the difference in class, we both had similar experiences growing up in 1960s England. However, Alan recognized early on the hypocrisies around us that took me longer to see. We said our farewells, and I flew home on Thursday and began recording the introduction, work in progress, the very next day. With only one day off, I finished the narration 29 days later. I phoned Alan several times in those days for some clarification. He told me that the frankly unreadable chapter, his words, not mine, was best attacked with an Irish accent and was available and helpful every time. Did my crazy trip help make this a better recording? I really think it did. And in any case, I have a new friend, and that's beyond value. On the book's publication, he sent me a signed copy to Simon, my eternal chum. The idea of spending eternity in conversation with Alan actually excites me. Simon Vance wrote that audio opinion. And now we will turn our attention to our best of the bests. Audiophile editors select 2016 best audiobooks. We at Audiophile love this time of year because it's our chance to reflect on and celebrate the standout audiobook performances of the past year. We are grateful for the skill and dedication of the narrators, as well as everyone who works behind the scenes to bring us the art form of the audiobook. On the following pages, you'll find our picks for the best audiobooks of 2016 in 9 categories. Our mission is to spread the word about audiobooks and to share the best listening with you, our readers. We hope you'll browse our choices and see how our favorites match up against yours, and add some great new listening to your list. Today, our list of the bests of narrators and titles is in young adult listening. The list begins alphabetically with And I Darken by Kirsten White, read by Fiona Hardingham. Anna and the Swallow Man by Gavriel Savitt, read by Alan Corduna. Being Jazz, written and read by Jazz Jennings. Girl in Pieces, Kathleen Glasgow, read by Julia Whalen. The Great American Whatever by Tim Federle, read by the author. The Light Fantastic by Sarah Combs, read by Lauren Etzo and Todd Habercorn. My Name Is Not Friday by John Walter, read by Dion Graham. Nazi Hunters by Neil Bascom, read by Jason Culp. Radioactive by Winifred Conkling, read by Andrea Gallo. The Raven King by Maggie Stiefvater, read by Will Patton. Rebel of the Sands by Alwyn Hamilton, read by Sonila Nankani. River Keep by Martin Stewart, read by James Cosmo. Salt to the Sea by Ruta Sepetys, read by Georgiana Marie, Will Dameron, Cassandra Morris, and Michael Crouch. The Serpent King by Jeff Zentner, read by Michael Crouch, Ariadne Myers, and Ethan Sawyer. Still Life with Tornado by A.S. King, read by Carissa Vacker. And finally, Tell Me Three Things by Julie Buxbaum, read by Georgiana Marie. And those are our best picks for young adults, titles and narrators. In the print version of the magazine, we have pictures of Julia Whalen and Michael Crouch, and each carries a QR code, which when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a bit about how that narrator felt about narrating that book. Okay, now we will turn our attention to reviews in young adult listening, and I'll remind you first that this is the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine, the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Our first review in young adult listening is River Keep by Martin Stewart, an Earphones winner, read by James Cosmo. Narrator James Cosmo's rich, raspy tones immerse listeners in the darkly humorous world created by debut novelist Martin Stewart. William, almost 16, dreads taking up the family mantle of Riverkeep, clearing the mythical Danneck of ice, debris, and corpses. But when his beloved papa is possessed by an evil spirit, Wool sets off on an epic quest to find a cure. Along the way, he collects a motley crew of characters whose exploits and snappy dialogue are aptly portrayed in Cosmo's accented narration. Cosmo guides listeners through the labyrinthine story and serves as a skilled interpreter of the knotty dialect. His brisk reading keeps this comedic adventure moving, and a thoroughly engaging clip. Sharon Grover wrote that review of Riverkeep by Martin Stewart. It's an Earphones winner, read by James Cosmo, and it's available from Listening Library for 12.75 hours unabridged young adult. And in case you have forgotten, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. And in the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews display a QR code, which when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear sound samples of most of our titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. Okay, we're returning to our young adult reviews. Our next review is Nimona by Noelle Stevenson, read by an ensemble cast. Bringing a graphic novel to audio is a challenge for obvious reasons. The full cast here gives it their all. Rebecca Solar projects just the right attitude, perky when she's excited or glum when she's bored, for Nimona, a shape-shifting girl with an enthusiastic appetite and aptitude for mayhem. Jonathan Davis and Mark Thompson are well matched as archenemies, Blackheart and Golden Loin, and the music and sound effects help draw the listeners into the mysteries at the center of the story. What secrets are the institution and Nimona hiding? The result is engaging, even if it doesn't completely capture the winning mix of humor, charm, and darkness in Noelle Stevenson's art. Seek out the book and the audio to best appreciate this dark fairy tale. Jennifer M. Dowell wrote that review of Nimona by Noel Stevenson, read by a full cast, available from Harper Audio for 2.25 hours unabridged, young adult. Next, we have Tomboy by Liz Prince, and it too is read by an ensemble cast. This graphic novel memoir makes a successful transition to audio because of its talented ensemble cast. It opens in Boston in 1986. 4-year-old Liz Prince is mid-temper tantrum because she's been asked to wear a dress. Her fit is more evocative and dramatic because of the concern expressed by her loving parents. Excellent timing and a sense of connection among the cast members continue through vignettes that skip from age 2 to adolescence. All scenes are so specific in detail and emotions that they convey honestly, uniquely, and sometimes painfully, Prince's experience with gender stereotyping. Both the duress and the triumph of standing up to prejudice and cultural mores are illuminated as Prince attempts to understand herself and the world at the same time. The narrator links all the scenes with an expansive range of humor, hurt, and revelatory statements. Susie Wilde wrote that review of Tomboy by Liz Prince, read by an ensemble cast. It's available from Dreamscape for 2 hours, unabridged, young adult. Our next review in young adult listening is Still Life with Tornado. It's written by A.S. King, and it's available, and it's read by Carissa Vacker, and it is an Earphones winner. Carissa Vacker's tones are subdued as she narrates the first-person story of 16-year-old Sarah. Her muted performance matches the heroine's depressed affect, but there lurks in Vacker's restraint an edge that hints at Sarah's emotional tornadoes. Sarah, always renewed by art, suddenly finds that she can't draw. She wanders Philadelphia seeking originality, and she finds it in discovering versions of herself at different ages. The skills of author and narrator make a seamless transition into magical realism. Vacker's volume rises in chilling bursts when Sarah returns home and confronts her father's abuse and the cruelties that have taken place in school. Listeners will cheer for this resilient heroine and welcome the peace she finds at last. Susie Wilde wrote that review of Still Life with Tornado by A.S. King. It's an Earphones winner, read by Carissa Vacker. And it's available from Listening Library for 9 hours, unabridged, for ages 14 and up. And the magazine does carry a QR code. Carissa Vacker says this about that book: Sarah goes on this incredible time-bending journey to discover the truth about herself. I deeply connected with her struggle, her story, and her transformation. And that's from Carissa Vacker. Our next young adult review is The Nazi Hunters: How a Team of Spies and Survivors Captured the World's Most Notorious Nazi. It's written by Neil Bascom, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Jason Culp. Adolf Eichmann was responsible for creating the logistics for Nazi Germany's final solution, the annihilation of the Jewish people. With ruthless efficiency, he organized the roundup, degradation, and transportation of millions of Jews from their homes to the death camps. Jason Culp reads this well-researched account of the 16-year ordeal to find Eichmann and bring him to justice. The efforts of Holocaust survivors, volunteers, spies, and the fledgling Mossad of Israel combine in this true-life global thriller. Culp reads with precision, directness, and focus, echoing the efforts of the Nazi hunters in pursuit of their mission. He makes the complicated story easy to follow with accented character voices and conveys a palpable sense of fear and tension endured in dangerous and fraught circumstances. Lisa Taylor wrote that review of The Nazi Hunters, How a Team of Spies and Survivors Captured the World's Most Notorious Nazi. It's written by Neil Bascom, an Earphones winner, read by Jason Culp, and it's available from Scholastic Audiobooks for 5.5 hours unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next in young adult listening, we have American Girls. It's written by Allison Uminger, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Jennifer Grace. Narrator Jennifer Grace embodies the cynicism of 15-year-old Anna, who certainly has a right to her tood. Her mother and stepmother are raising a new baby, and Anna feels invisible at best. So she borrows a credit card, flies to Los Angeles, and surprises her half-sister Delia. As Anna turns a jaded eye on the glamorous Hollywood lifestyle, Grace adds wry humor, but she also expresses Anna's sensitive, fearful side as she attempts to understand the girls who committed the Manson murders. As those young women become more real to her, Anna sees her similarities to them, acknowledges brutalities in her own life, and develops a more mature view. Grace does a magnificent job of balancing horror and humor in this gripping coming-of-age debut. Susie Wilde wrote that review of American Girls. It's by Allison Uminger, an Earphones winner, read by Jennifer Grace. It's available from Recorded Books for 9.25 hours unabridged young adult, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our next young adult review is Shadow Bright and Burning, Kingdom on Fire, Book 1, by Jessica Cluess, read by Fiona Hardingham. Fiona Hardingham's brusque, chameleon-like narration is a gift to this sweeping magical adventure. Young sorcerer Henrietta Howell must enhance her developing magical skills in order to defend England in a war against horrifying ancient creatures bent on destruction. Cluess's world of monsters, politics, and magically inclined beasts and humans, all described in enchanting prose, is a whirlwind of activity. Hardingham's pacing and characterizations carry listeners through the turmoil with ease. This is a wild coming-of-age tale, as funny as it is harrowing, and Cluess and Hardingham deliver high action, powerfully charged history, and a strong, smart female protagonist. The first in the Kingdom on Fire series, the production is a spectacular match for fans of fantasy and the supernatural. Kate S. Boudries wrote that review of Shadow Bright and Burning, Kingdom on Fire, Book 1, by Jessica Cluess. It's read by Fiona Hardingham, available from Listening Library for 12.75 hours, unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next, we have Watched, by Marina Butos. It's read by Sunil Malhotra. "I'm watched," begins Sunil Malhotra's first-person narration. He conveys the paranoia of Naeem, a Bangladeshi-born teen living in post-9/11 Queens. Malhotra fleshes out Naeem's fear, frustration, and anger. His parents' store is failing, and his devotion to school is flagging. He finds release from spending time with his eccentric, daring friend, Ibrahim. Malhotra sets the emotional tone so clearly that listeners understand why Naeem takes risks in this dangerous relationship. His innocence is just as clear, especially when he's apprehended by police for a shoplifting incident engineered by Ibrahim. The threats of the police convince Naeem to become the kind of watcher he has scorned and feared in the past. Malhotra sensitively, once Naeem begins spying on his Muslim neighbors, Malhotra sensitively portrays his increasingly conflicted feelings and difficult decision. Susie Wilde wrote that review of Watched by Marina Butos. It's read by Sunil Malhotra. Available from Listening Library for 7 hours, unabridged, ages 12 and up. And finally today we have Lotus and Thorn by Sarah Wilson Etienne, read by Carly Robbins. Carly Robbins masterfully narrates this adventure, which mixes Korean, Mexican, and American cultural influence on an Earth colony estranged from the mother planet. The plague has killed off most of the people of Pleiades, leaving a fractured society. Robin gives Laika, the teen heroine, changing personas, tough girl, scared kid, and heroic young woman, as she moves through various challenging situations. Robin's skill is impressive as she deftly imparts the linguistic twists of the non-English vocabulary while also managing the voices of characters ranging from slaves to aristocratic overseers. She employs minimal voicing throughout but achieves first-rate character definition using exquisite pacing and the passions of the individual players. Mike Comer wrote that review of Lotus and Thorn by Sarah Wilson Etienne, read by Carly Robbins. It's available from Tantor Media for 13.25 hours, unabridged, young adult. And that's our show for today. But I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when our bests will focus on children and family listening. Then we have an In the Studio talking with two narrators about their earphone-winning recording of Baker's Magic, and of course a review of that book. We have reviews in Children and Family Listening and an author interview with Grace Lynn, plus a review of her latest, When the Sea Turned to Silver, a wonderful fable for family listening. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kim May Guest. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.